Hey, Bobby Manning here. Welcome to another Dome Theory group chat edition. We don't have a strong setup for today. We don't have a big list of stuff we need to talk about, but I figured we'd just bounce around the West. And I think these are some guys here who are going to be pretty interested in the West, especially on the right, Lindo in his Lakers, who he's excited about, last I asked him. You're invested in, you have expectations for.
Every that you have LeBron James on the team, you should be invested and should expect to win, because that's what he promises everywhere he goes. And he costs $50 million, and he's 38. How old is he? So, no, I like everybody else, think that they made some great pickups in the offseason. What's still concerning is shooting, because it's not going to come from Cam Reddish. It's not really going to come from Gabe Vincent. So that's still yet to be seen. But like every other year, as much as you expect out of LeBron, the season hinges on Anthony Davis. Is he healthy and is he playing well? Because if he is, then that's a team to believe in.
My main issue is that Bobby said it was only Lindo's Lakers.
I thought you're done now that Russ is across the hall.
No, not me. Not you.
Okay. Yes, I am playing for the Lakers right now.
Oh, you're not just playing for the Lakers. You're a bigger Lakers fan than everyone but Lindo.
And I'm intrigued by this team. First, though, Nate, your team, the Clippers, they veer on becoming home to your favorite two players, Russell Westbrook, James Harden. Last I'm reading is that Harden's still focused on playing there. And I think the Clippers probably want to make that deal, though, without Terrence Mann. Are you excited about the possibility of Kawhi, George, Harden, and Westbrook?
No. I would be if I trusted Paul George and Kawhi Leonard to stay healthy for a full season, but I think that would just be stupid on my end to believe that that's remotely possible. So, no, I'm not excited.
Really?
Yeah.
So you're not going to have high expectations if that team comes together.
No, I can't expect, again, like if some miracle happens and Kawhi and PG play 70 games each next season, then I guess check
that. Oh, I see how that's going to go, Lindo.
Why dream?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So I'm just like, it is what it is.
I don't know how that combination at guard is going to work after what we saw in Houston, though. And Lindo's felt differently about it.
What are you talking about?
Because they got the wings this time.
They were literally the most prolific scoring duo in years.
Yeah, but the team didn't really go anywhere.
Well, because COVID happened.
Yeah, that was a factor that year. And they didn't have any size at all. And this Clippers team,
no, they didn't have size. Russ got a quad injury halfway, like, at some point he caught a quad injury. Like, it was just
Russ is the worst
storm.
Player this time around, though. And Harden, I think, is too. So I just I just don't see.
There's so much
that's underwhelming about that team already.
I mean, again, you're talking about the number three and the number four option on the team if Kawhi and PG are healthy.
Right.
That's what you're focused on.
So that's
on
how
right
it's going to have to stack up. Those two as playmakers. Harden is the shooter, which he showed he was capable of doing in Philly. And Russ has to roll again. And I don't know if he's going to do it, Lindo. Mm-hmm. He has to roll to the basket.
Did you watch any second of Clippers basketball with Russ on the team last season?
Yeah, but that was when they were down.
Did Russ roll once?
And he could man the offense. It's so crazy because.
But did Russ roll once?
No, because he didn't have to.
Oh, so why would he have to roll now?
Other players are going to have the ball in their hands.
No. That's not
you
what's
don't think
happen.
Kawhi is going to have it's the ball in his hands between once he's back and healthy?
Nope.
No, Kawhi is going to come off of screens and catch and make mid-range jump shots. And PG is going to do the same, only at the three-point
line. If they're able to set that up, I'd be pretty impressed. But I just don't think that's how it's going to go.
I mean, Tyronn Lue is one of the best coaches in the league.
Kawhi
so.
And Paul George, noted guys who don't like the ball in their hands. James Harden.
James Harden
hates the ball in his
I
hands.
I mean, like... Okay, James Harden,
oh
yeah.
My God.
But
talk about
PG when he was in OKC was perfectly fine. Yeah, that's a lot of mouths to feed. I will admit that. But you have two of the most of the best playmakers of all time on the team. Like, I should be fine. They should be fine. The real issue is if Kawhi and PG can stay healthy, which I'm not going to make any predictions on that, Lindo.
Lindo loves watching the Clippers dismay. When I pitched this possibility to him, he got even more excited about how disastrous things could get in LA this season.
I would love for it to happen. I'm actively rooting for it to happen.
It would be very funny.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever seen the movie Wild Hogs?
Yes.
That's what that would be like. Four guys over the hill getting together to go on a cross-country motorcycle trip.
Which one is Martin Lawrence?
Martin Lawrence, with the ketchup and the mustard. I feel like that would have to be like probably James Harden, right?
Okay. Fake tough guy?
Yeah, Westbrook is Travolta, easily.
So I think we all know what's going on in Portland. We don't really have to talk about that. But as I think about the Harden situation.
What do we know? Nothing.
That it's just stuck, and it's going to be for a long time. And it'll probably start the season on Portland. But Harden, it's going to be like Simmons again. And there's an article out in ESPN about the rule that if he doesn't show up, he's barred from free agency. So he's in a tough spot in that sense. I'm still surprised he opted in, not knowing where there's going to be a trade ready to go. And let me just say, in those party pictures, he's not looking his most fit right now.
This is all like pointless speculation during an off season for a sport when we have football coming up and baseball coming up.
Yes, but I don't know how this situation is going to get resolved, because it doesn't seem like he's going back to Philly, Nate, does it?
No, because Daryl Morey fucked that up.
With what? Not offering a full contract?
What my best guess is that it was pitched to Harden last season to take the pay cut for last season so that they could get a better team, and then he would get paid this offseason.
Yeah, they're not doing it.
The way that they approached him in the offseason, I mean, the way they approached it in the offseason, they didn't, I don't think they did the best job of signaling that they wanted to keep Harden. And if you put any player in Harden's shoes, where I literally just took a pay cut for the team and now you're non-committal on whether or not I can come back, like I'm going to be rubbed the wrong way. So like, I don't really see how, I mean, well, one, I don't really, I guess I kind of see how it's similar to the Ben Simmons situation from the standpoint of you have a player who doesn't want to play for the team and is under contract, but I think it's completely different from the standpoint of they literally asked Ben Simmons to do something that any other player would say yes to. Can you shoot the ball more? And he says no. Like, that's just completely different compared to we had an agreement coming in. I helped the team out, and now it's time for you to scratch my back, and you're not doing so.
I actually get that.
Well, there's a lot of context there. What it adds up to is just another team that Harden's just leaving in the middle of their project.
And you think there's like three justifiable reasons in a row for it, but it's still crazy that three happen in rapid succession.
I mean, again, like if any other players in this position, they're doing the exact same thing. We had an agreement that I'm going to take a pay cut and you're going to pay me next offseason. And now when it's time for you to pay me, you're not doing so. I want to go. Any player in that position is in the same position that Harden is in right now.
Yeah.
Or taking the same stance, I should say.
Somehow the player in the situation is always James Harden.
And no, the season always ends with him in a game 7 really struggling prior.
Is he the only player that struggled on that team?
No.
Did Joel Embiid look remotely like
himself? How many players on that team?
Now you want to use that? You didn't use that when Brooklyn
Nets lost the game 7. Are the anti-hurt?
You can't pick and choose.
I'm anti-hurt, but you can't do both.
Okay. Yeah, you can't pick and choose. All I'm saying is that, yes, it's Harden's fault. It's also Doc Rivers' fault. It's also Joel Embiid's fault. It's a lot of people's faults. We can't just like focus on one player and say, like, as much fun as it is, like, let's be realistic and understand that Joel Embiid did not play like an MVP. Barely even. What he scored 10 points less, averaged 10 points less in the playoffs than he did the regular season. Additionally, in that one Celtics series, James Harden had more 40-point games than Joel Embiid has had in his entire
playoff career. Sitting there through 5 games shocked at how well Harden played, especially in game 1 where he looked like his vintage self taking over. So he did way more in that series than I expected, and it finished poorly.
As he played well, and he did shock the Celtics, but here's the thing. As you say, you can't only blame him. Well, you could blame multiple people, but you blame Doc Rivers. He got fired. You blame James Harden, who's the MVP, and he's going to leave. So that's I don't know how it goes back.
What about you? Didn't mention Joel Embiid at all.
Well, I hate Joel Embiid. He's a loser. I'm actively rooting for him.
So what did the logic say that you're blaming him the most? Since you just said that you hate him,
because he's saying he's saying, okay, I fucked up. Okay. I'm gonna be here again. Harden fucked up and said,
I don't think that's what he's saying.
How is he not?
It's interesting that he's about to turn up on Embiid.
If you bring up the comment, he literally tweeted the next day, I'm the second biggest troll on the team. So it can't be that he's thinking of leaving. Embiid is there.
No, I think he's mad at Daryl Morey for not doing what he said he would do with Harden. And now, because of that, the next season is in limbo because of whether or not Harden
is going to play. And there's no mistake in the comment.
Do you think Embiid will be on the team next season?
Yes.
So then there you go.
Like this upcoming season?
Yes, this season.
Yeah.
I thought you said Harden's out, Nate.
No, he's talking about Embiid.
He said Embiid.
So Embiid is there. So, yes, blame him, but he's staying. Harden is saying, I'm out of here. You know, I played bad enough.
He's not saying he's not saying he's out of there for any reason that is basketball related. It's business related from the standpoint of we had an agreement and now you are not honoring this agreement. So why am I giving you my services?
I'm just saying, how is him and the GM are always at odds in every location? How does
and this was his this is his guy too.
Yes.
I don't think it's the GM this time around. I don't think the owner wants to pay him. It's a bad investment.
That also might be possible. They also let Jaden McDaniels go, I don't understand either.
Jaden's the Minnesota one.
Whichever brother was on the Sixers got traded to the Sixers last season, they let him go. And that
after
makes no sense.
After training Thibault to get rid of him. I mean,
yeah, you got nothing
this
for Thibault.
And I know you. Do any of you guys like Doc?
I mean, I do from a Celtics fan standpoint.
This is the anti-Glenn chat.
Me.
I love Doc Rivers. And listen, I acknowledge all the resume marks that went against him in recent years. But he was on Bill Simmons recently. Love what he said. And it's true about just how much the stink from those losing, tanking years in Philadelphia just lingered. And obviously a lot of it was bad organization mistakes in terms of who they drafted, in terms of how they managed things. Brett Brown wasn't the greatest coach in the world.
They drafted Jahlil.
Yeah, so they just had so much holdover, not to mention from the Simmons situation, that hurt this team at this point. And for Embiid, Taylor's, he starts to allude to asking out here, and that becomes a bigger talking point around the NBA. It's something I definitely think is within a year here. I think Embiid's going to look at this situation, no matter what happens with Harden here, within the next year and say, this probably just isn't it for me. And yes, now that Jokic has won his championship, I think all the attention's going to turn to Embiid and him not even having appeared in an East Finals at this point, and he's the next guy up in terms of the criticism coming his way. That, I think, is only going to increase the chances, Taylor, that I think Embiid is not on the Sixers next year, next summer.
So, like, he'll play this season and then after that?
This will be his last.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's reasonable.
Could even happen by the deadline if things don't go well this year.
I agree. And, I mean, he got his pity MVP where they just threw it at him and said, fine, like, here you go. Stop complaining. And he just – I don't know. He's an incredible player, obviously. But Nate put it perfectly because, obviously, you can throw the injury around and it was real. We all know it was real. But scoring 10 points less than your season average – in the playoffs as the MVP. And like that Celtics series, I didn't expect Embiid to reach 100%. But I mean, James, when your second best player wins you two games, because he did, he had 2 40-point games. They won both of those games. Like your MVP has to clean that series up. And obviously they ran into like the end of game six, Tatum.
Well, Embiid got switched out in game 7.
I know. Exactly. And then like that whole game 7, and I know this isn't like a new thing. Like people were talking about it in the moment, but I mean, a lot of that was 51 points and especially some of those threes was Tatum just going either over the top of Embiid or right past him. So he's never really shown up when it matters. And wasn't there like a overtime game with Denver that he scored a bunch of points in the regular season? Like I see that stat line on Twitter every other day. Mm-hmm. That's like, but what about this game? And it's like, we are totally missing the point here. So
to add on to Taylor, when you're looking at how Embiid played during the regular season and what led him to being the league's scorer, he did not resemble any of that type of strategy at all in game seven. He did not get to the elbow once. He took so, like, he started at the 3-point line, which he can do that. But let's be honest, like, the reason why he's unstoppable is because once you put him on the nail, you have to double him. He's either going to pass out of it or he's going to knock down that mid-range shot. And he did not try to get to the nail once. So off the first quarter, it was kind of like, what are you doing, Embiid? I kind of hope that Doc Rivers would kind of be like, hey, this is our bread and butter. Let's do this. Maybe the playoff coverages were different, but he's still 7'2", 7'3", so I don't see how any type of playoff coverage will dictate what Joel Embiid can do, especially with that good mid-range jumper. I don't know. I was just looking at, like, it's one thing if he's playing his game or the game that got him the MVP, got him to being the league's best scorer, and he's just missing shots. Okay, cool. I can live with that. But it's just the mere fact that he completely changed his game in game seven. And honestly, he completely folded. I just don't understand. Like, that's really puzzling to me. Like, say what you want about James Harden's flameouts.
24 assists. He's never
changed how he plays the game.
24 assists, 35 turnovers in the playoffs this year.
It's even like, even the cheap stuff that's super frustrating especially as a Celtics fan where you have that rivalry, but even just watching him play anybody else, like where it's like, all right, you're 7'2", 300 something pounds and you fall down every possession, stuff like that. But that works. It gets you to the line. He shoots a ton of free throws. And then in the playoffs, I mean, and especially towards the end of that Celtics series, like he gets super passive and is just like hanging out.
But making bad decisions.
Yeah, like bad decisions. And it's like, all right, you're going to work your way in, hit that mid-range jumper, which is super effective. But then we're not going to think about him for like six possessions in a row. So it's a very when he gets in that mode, and it's almost exclusive to regular season, but when he's playing down low or kind of extending it out to the free throw line extended in that area, I mean, he's unstoppable. He's an incredible basketball player, and he's an incredible basketball player regardless of, whatever. But when it comes to when the lights are brightest, his mentality and his just decision-making and everything, it changches. I don't want to say it gets horrible and that he's garbage and whatever.
The numbers
are
horrible.
I know.
I'll say it's horrible because I didn't understand what he was doing in game
seven
at all.
And he doesn't even say it was horrible. And because of how it works, his presence, it isn't even a thing where his presence is felt anymore. Like he can be completely erased, to where it feels like he's not even out there. And there's a lot of superstars. There's a lot of superstars who, even when they're not playing well, it's like you still know where they are on the court at all times because it's like if they get something going, then they're here. Like with Embiid, I never have felt like that. And I've watched, obviously, you and I, Bob, have watched a ton of him in the playoffs at this point. And it's like once you shut him down a few possessions in a row, he kind of shuts down and it's like, all right, he's not coming back. Like there isn't going to be, all right, go into the locker room at half and get ready and come back out and have, score 27 in the second half and dominate. It's like, no, once you to bring it to football, it's like once you punch him in the mouth a few times, he's gonna be like, all right, I'm done with this.
Real quick, want to shout out FanDuel, FanDuel.com/Boston, the sponsor here, up to $200 in bonus bets. I laid a bet on Team USA yesterday, got me locked in for the World Cup. Didn't work out, but love the odds, love the experience over there. Great app. And a safe, secure experience for your betting, up to $200 in bonus bets when you place your first submission up there. Put in some money, you'll get up to $200 in bonus bets at FanDuel.com/Boston. Make every moment more. Official partner of MLB and, of course, our official sports wagering partner here at CLNS Media, FanDuel.com/Boston.
Bobby, can I ask Nate a question?
Yesterday, I spent my last $5 yesterday on a cricket parlay. I can't eat today.
Yeah.
Damn. Bob, yeah, can I ask Nate a question?
What's that, Taylor?
Nate, for week one of the NFL this year, will you pick the lines along with your normal picks? Just 1 week? If you don't like it, you don't have to keep it going. For week one, will you pick
for
the
one
lines?
Week.
The Lions? Wait, did I not pick the lines?
You never would.
No, you just picked the winner and the
specifically,
loser.
Specifically, you didn't pick the lines.
Oh, the lines. I heard Lions. Okay. I was about to say, I definitely picked the Lions before. No.
Why? Come on. Honestly, I think you'd be good at it. Like, the way you pick the games, I think you'd be good at it. I don't know why you don't. Just 1 week?
It's – I feel like it's extra – I feel like it's overcomplicating.
Nate wants the
what
green
is just
check.
A simple yes or
he
no.
He doesn't want to –
yes.
No,
I just want the green check.
He knows it's hard to pick the line.
I don't want the technicality of – Yeah, you picked right, but they won by three, and you said they picked that's by seven. That's one wrong.
Week one, do your normal picks, your normal winners and losers, and then do the lines just to see how it goes. And I'm not even like, this isn't even like, all right, I'm trying to like get you in the chat to be like, ha, 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 ha. Like, I really want to know.
Okay. I'll do it if the line, like, I'll do it just for the sake of doing it. But the lines don't matter. Like, if I still, like, if the Lions win a game and they win by three instead of seven, it's still a point.
That's what I'm saying. We do both. We get your green checks.
Okay.
And then we also do the lines on the side.
I like it.
We can workshop that.
Football is coming up quick.
While we're talking about football, I think it's time for me to make my prediction. Justin Fields, 4,000 yards. Lindo, write it down.
Okay.
Write it down, Lindo.
Yeah. He's benched by week six. I can't.
Who called him a bust? Who called him a bust?
I didn't use
Colin Cowherd. The same person
Colin,
who thought
Colin Cowherd said he's
could
a bust.
Trade draft picks in MLB.
Colin Cowherd said he's a bust, and you, Bobby, said yes. To which I said it's too early.
No,
but
I was kidding.
I don't believe.
Oh, I was kidding.
I don't know what to think about him yet. The team's been pretty bad. I liked him at times last year, and you know what? My Mac loyalty is taking a little bit of a hit. So
stand up, man. Stand on something. God damn.
I think if Justin Fields was your quarterback instead of Mac Jones, you'd feel a lot better about the season.
I won't rule that out, but I think the coaching and the personnel are killing Mac right now. And remember, he had a great first year in the league, leading the team to the playoffs, solid numbers, good decisions, his ability to handle taking hits.
Handle. Oh, okay. I mean, the fact of the matter is that he's a stationary target, and in this NFL, that's just
He does struggle against the pressure sometimes, but he's able to withstand those sometimes and make the throws. Last year, though, that changed, and he turned the ball over a lot and threw the ball in the bad spaces. But I don't want to talk about the Pats because I'm going to have to do that all week at training camp.
You don't want to talk about the Pats on a Boston podcast? Yeah. Okay.
When Patriots press pass, go subscribe. Some Taylor and the rest are going to do it much better than me. Lindo, is Embiid a Nick or a Net?
He's a 76er.
Next year.
Yo.
Dude, him to the Knicks would be interesting, but I mean, every time it's a new person, right? I swear.
Is it getting annoying?
I swear that the Carmelo Anthony trade is like a Mandela effect. Like, it just didn't happen. Like, do fans not remember, like, that scenario has already played out and it didn't work? So why, when they have a bunch of pieces that are young too, why would they just try and ship all of them out and every name? Every time there's a guy who might be gone, you see a Knicks hypothetical. And obviously some of those are trolls, some of those are whatever. But it's like, this one is serious. That's why you're asking me, that people think it could be a move. Why is there this like market for the Knicks to just be in on
a
big name again?
I get what you're saying, but everyone wants to add the star, and teams don't want to give up their stars. Like, Portland right now is just sitting on Lillard when they could probably get quite a bit, even trading him to Miami. Like, I know they could hold down and try to get the best offer possible, but if they tell Miami, like, go get the 5-6 picks, I know Hero's not great, but you're still getting a ton of value at that point. And the Heat are a little unique because they're not usually bad. But I almost feel like selling's become underrated because you get so much back at this point. The talent comes into the league so quickly and gets great very fast.
I don't agree with that. I don't think you're going to get
Look at where the Thunder are at.
I think you're ignoring the fact that your favorite player, Rudy Gobert, ruined the whole concept of getting a good return.
What do you mean? You don't think the Jazz got a lot for him?
They did, and then every other team saw how much the Timberwolves gave up for Rudy Gobert, and how
the Nets just
basically
got six picks back
amounted to nothing.
And Bridges,
and now
Johnson.
Teams are like, I'm not going to give you six picks for some
just did it.
Random guy.
Yeah, did for it? Durant.
Oh, I thought you were talking about
the Beal thing was unique too.
Well, Durant, but the thing is that Durant is proven. Like, for Beal, what did they give up for Beal?
Mikal
like,
Bridges.
It was basically
a bag of chips
and a ride home.
6 seconds and Chris Paul.
Yeah, the whole concept of the big return, the 7 draft picks, at least as far as I'm concerned, is that.
You don't think Philly will get that for Embiid, though?
It depends on what Embiid does.
How many years does Embiid have left?
If Embiid says, I'm only going to play for the Knicks,
he's signed for a long time.
Then no, they're not going to say through. But if Embiid is open to playing for, and that's another thing too, like these superstars basically saying, I'm going to play for one team, it does hurt the leverage that the team that they're currently on has, because then you don't have that bidding war for that player.
And that rarely happens anymore, even now with Lillard Taylor, because he's picking one spot. And the Blazers don't – I don't even know if it's a guts thing, because I do think there's a legitimate loyalty they feel toward him. But at some point, you have to do what's best for the team, because I keep saying this. They should trade him to the Nets. He'd be perfectly happy on the Nets. They'd get a ton, and it'd be fine. He's not going to sit out. He's not going to quit. And if he does, he's going to be like Harden. People will judge him accordingly.
Yeah, that whole situation, I'm pretty thankful that it's been relatively quiet for the last week and a half, because for every day for 2 weeks, it was the same exact update from the same exact people. It's like, oh, he wants Miami and doesn't want to go anywhere else. And it's like, okay, next day, wake up. He really wants Miami and doesn't want to go anywhere else. So my like gut tells me the Miami thing will happen at some point, but I think you're right that it's going to be a slow process, and Miami's going to have to put the right assets together. And like, I don't want to act like Tyler Hero is this terrible player, but when you're talking about Damian Lillard, like, I don't know if he can be the centerpiece of that. And obviously they're not going to come off Bam, because that wouldn't make sense to trade for Lillard and not have Bam anymore. So it's just a process that's going to be slow. And the whole, he's not going to play for anyone else, we've seen that happen before, maybe to not the same extent, where you have someone like Chris Haynes, who's been so close with Dame for so long and is just consistently saying, like, you know, he's not going anywhere else. And it, like, obviously people want to bring up the Celtics because they have arguably the biggest piece who could be moved for him in Jaylen. And it's like, no, he's not playing for the Celtics. And so there's all this, the Lillard stuff. I think the Miami trade will eventually happen, but it's not going to be, it doesn't feel like it's just going to be like, all right, this has been going on too long, so we're going to take Tyler Hero, Jovic, and picks and just call it good.
Hey, I liked him at Summer League. You guys, 27 minutes for a Summer League mention. Thankfully, in your case, Nate, I didn't go there.
Yeah, that's not real sports.
Bobby, are you seeing this commentary in the comments right now?
Yeah, I think it lines up. Pat's a mediocre. Hey.
Red Sox are mediocre.
Mediocre. Celtics and Bruins are excellent. I don't know if the Bruins will be next year, but Celtics should be. It's tough.
The who?
The Bruins.
Who?
We're talking a little UCLA football, baby.
Listen, I can't even think about the Bruins after that playoff loss. That was one of the most gut-wrenching things I've ever watched.
I don't follow fake sports. I'm sorry.
Factor Meals. Shout out to them. I had another box yesterday. Still got two to roll through. They sent me a huge package of meals, and it's great for the summer. It really is. They say it, and it's perfect description that you run all over the place during the year. Even today, I'm all over the place writing, in and out, some basketball going on. It's just the way your summer goes. So factormeals.com, Garn50, get 50% off your first box. Meals ready to go in 2 minutes. 35-plus options, sides, breakfast options, all the rest, but the shakes are the real deal. I don't even have to get the blender, guys. And, you know, that's huge for me because I lose the blender in ways most people shouldn't. Factormeals.com/Garn50. Shout out to them. Lindo, about to wrap this. I wanted your thoughts, though, because it was a really special sports moment last night. Messi scoring the game winner in his first Miami game. Am I going to have to get Apple, whatever, to watch this? Because that was pretty special, the atmosphere in Miami last night.
If ever there was a scripted result, it was that one.
It didn't feel real.
That's the fakest shit I ever seen in my life. No, it didn't. It's not. It didn't feel not real like Disney World. It felt not real like WWE.
Yeah.
Like, dude, you know, and obviously he's amazing, but
that was a tough shot, though. I'm not watching that.
It was a beautiful free kick. I'm not watching the MLS, man. I'm not doing that.
Why?
And what?
So MLS is fake sports?
Yes. There's no faker sports than MLS.
Hockey
is a rival. So what David Beckham is doing is he's trying to really get the band back together with Barcelona. They got Busquets. They're about to get Jordi Alba. Like, they're really trying to put it back together, and I'm totally uninterested. And what really fucked the MLS up is that
they're getting the band back together Saudi Arabia. Miami?
Yeah, they're on Inter Miami. It's him, Busquets, and Jordi Alba, who were in Barcelona's prime, some of the best. But they're all late 30s, you know, whatever. But what really fucked up the MLS is Saudi is doing what the MLS should have done, in that they're getting anybody and they're overpaying
for who's them. Gone to Saudi.
They're telling
so far?
Every team in Europe. Say it again.
Who's gone to them so far?
It's too many. It's too many names to list. It's in the dozens. Wow. But you know, they're going after anybody. Firmino. They just got Mahrez. They're trying to get Sadio Mane. Kante is going there. Obviously, the big name was Ronaldo, who's over there. But they're doing what MLS should have done and didn't, where MLS has one designated player that is not from the U.S. and their salary is like 150K. And meanwhile, the Saudi Arabia is going to go after someone like Jordan Henderson, who's was the captain for Liverpool, who sucked, making 350K a week. I mean, it's incomparable. So, yeah, MLS is fake. And what people should be tuned into is Saudi, as they have money. And they're saying,
are you watching Saudi? I don't even know where to watch that.
I don't know where to watch it either. But when it comes up, I will be watching. And what it is proving, what Saudi is showing right now with football, is Americans do not want Saudi owners. No American, none of the big four wants Saudis to become owners. Because while owners now are trying to save money at every turn, you know, if we can't go out to win, then we just won't. Saudis are saying, we want everyone. We're going to be in the tax. We want to win now. We're going to build the infrastructure. We're going to get the fans. NFL, NBA, MLB, probably hockey too, they don't want that. So
it's interesting,
as you see this rise,
because that approach
as you see
is
this rise,
pissing off fans.
Yeah. As you see, and, you know, as people call it, sports washing, as you see that, just know you will see, just like Live Golf, the kind of backlash that happened, you are going to see it tenfold if they try and touch a big four team.
All I'm hearing is that Robert Kraft needs to get Mbappe over to Foxborough to play for the Revolution, baby.
Okay. Well,
that's all I'm hearing.
Right now, Mbappe is for sale by PSG as of yesterday. So,
yeah.
Let's see the offers.
Head up the Revolution, maybe play a little slot for the Pats on the weekends.
Well, yeah, the Pats passed up on Hopkins. I need a reason to tune into the Revs that time of year instead, because I don't think the Pats are going to be watchable again this year. We'll be back again soon.
You're going to watch every
game.
You
think DeAndre Hopkins is who he was 4 years ago? He is not.
Can you name one better Pats receiver right now?
I can't name a Pats receiver, period.
No, because you traded Jacob. Well, you didn't trade him, but you let him go.
They can't even name one Pats receiver, Taylor.
I mean, but they're football guys. They know the players.
Jonnu Smith is gone?
Yeah, where's he play, Taylor?
You know who Juju Smith-Schuster is. You know who Devontae Parker is.
Yes. Wait, Juju Smith-Schuster is on the Patriots?
They let Myers go and signed Juju because he's a better player than Myers.
No, he's not.
My fault, Bobby. I know you're trying to wrap this. I know you're trying to wrap this up.
Player.
Taylor, what's your
he's
reaction to that?
He's a better player than Jacoby Myers.
No, he's not.
Okay.
He's going to be one of those guys with a big name who just disappears.
Where's Jonnu Smith?
I don't know. They traded him to the Falcons, maybe?
Something like that. They brought Jonnu in and just
didn't
use him.
Yeah, he's on the Falcons.
I don't know why that ever happened. They had no plans to utilize
him. The Titans had A.J. Brown and Jonnu Smith.
No, you got rid of Smith right on time.
No, the Patriots fucked him up. Okay, he was going up. The Patriots brought him
down.
Oh,
for sure.
What coach?
Maybe that. Put that on Bill's.
Yeah,
put that on Bill's resume. Failed Jonnu Smith.
Get ready for that. Who's the other tight end in Atlanta there? That's going to be deadly if Smith comes back to form. Yeah,
Kyle
Pitts. Pitts and Smith.
Who's their quarterback?
Ritter.
Should I care?
No.
All right, that's our show. Don't theory. Taylor McLeod, Nate Sperling, they host the Cap. Go check that out. Link in the description. They review music every so often. And Lindo Zay, good luck in your move to Virginia. You'll have to pack that cowboy hat away for good soon.
Hell no.
Can I get a howdy real quick and a yeehaw?
Howdy. We don't do the other one.
Okay.
See you guys.